Hey, drama listeners. It is Dylan with a quick message before this fabulous episode with Carrie St. Louis. Connor and I are having a blast over on our Patreon, which we affectionately call Drama Plus. You can check out the link for it in the episode notes. It is $5 a month for bonus content. You might have listened to our Twin Talks episode last week. It was just Connor and I. Well, that's what it's like on the Patreon. And we just started rolling out amazing bonus episodes where we're discussing the contenders for each of the major categories at the 2023 Tonys. We're gay. We love awards. What can I say? We started with Best Musical, and I think we've narrowed it down to what the top five are going to be for the nominees this year. We're going to be doing Best Actress, Best Featured Actor, all the major categories. So you're going to want to tune in for that. And that's only going to be accessible on our Patreon. Thank you so much to those who do support, whether it's just by liking our posts, giving us wonderful reviews, or continuing to tune in every single week on the podcast we call Drama. Speaking of, let's get on with the show.
Press play. Curtain of an hour in. It's time to taste in.
The shade and tea
to spill.
Ooh, drama.
Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book?
Who got nominated?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today?
Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more. Drama.
Drama.
Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life.
I am Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan McDowell. Connor, how are you today?
I'm great. I got a haircut. I had a nice weekend.
Looks fresh.
Thank you. It was the Oscars, which I know when this comes out, it'll have been a couple weeks, but
yes, how
could you possibly talk about anything else other than another major pop culture shift occurred this weekend, something that we've been waiting for months, similar to how we wait for the Oscars, but we were waiting for Drag Race to return to 90-minute episodes.
I didn't know where you were going with that. I was like, wait, did I forget something that happened? But yeah, it finally did. And, you know, we begged and pleaded online all season long. Todd Rick Hall said there was no way it was going to happen because of the Real Friends trio. And now here it is. It's back to 90 minutes. And I am, for one, so thrilled about it.
Oh, my God. Well, I've been feeling really disconnected from this season. I think because it's just felt like, okay, we have more queens than ever. We have more episodes than ever, but they're all only 40 minutes long and we barely get a chance to get to know them or see any personality. Yeah. It's just been very formulaic, like challenge, slight tension for the episode. You can figure out who's going home, judging, it's over. But with this 90-minute one that happened this past weekend, you, like you said, Dylan, you're like, you're seeing the cracks in the competition. The queens who are, we've only seen as like great competitors, we're seeing their personality and how they're like crumbling in the workroom, or, you know, one of them was even ill for like a significant portion of the episode. And we would never have seen that when the episode was
left. Yeah, Anitra's headache would not have been part of the episode. That's so true.
It's so relatable to have a headache during a work day. That was so relatable.
It wasn't. Like, we've never seen that before on Drag Race, I must admit.
You're right. That was a first. Yeah. That was a first. It was such a good episode. And that lip sync between her and,
oh my God,
Marsha.
Yes.
Fantastic.
You know, it's really narrowing down now. Do you have any predictions for who you think is going to be in the finals?
Okay, well, I had Anitra in there forever, but it seems like she's struggling a little bit lately.
Perhaps.
But I still think she'll make it. I think it'll be Anitra, Sasha Colby,
well,
Mistress, and I don't know who the fourth would be, actually. What do you think? Who's the fourth? Would you have those three?
I would definitely do those three. You know, I really love Selena as Titties. I think she is so funny and brilliant.
Love.
I don't know, though. I definitely think those three. You know, there's a rumor going around online that this is the last season of Drag Race with Rue at the helm and that Sasha Colby is going to take over as host.
I don't know if I believe that. I feel like they pick somebody who the fans
so
have known
silly.
For longer. You know,
totally like a legacy winner or something like that. I know, it's silly. It's fun. I love the online chatter.
Dylan.
Yes.
We actually just saw our Rue girl at the
I love this transition you were going with, because I was like, how are we gonna go from Drag Race to bringing in our guests?
It came to me like magic, but then I suddenly blanked. I was like, it's called the Daryl Roth, right? Like,
it is. Yeah.
But we saw Rue Girl in the best show of the season.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. I tell everyone to go see it. It's the most fun you're gonna have in New York right now. And
it's also something that's like, it's worth every penny. You're paying for like what you're getting for, because people are like, ugh, I only go to shows if they're free. You know that New York mentality that people have?
Oh my God, people are so annoying.
People are so annoying. But this is one you have to pay for, because what you're getting is 100% from every single person on stage. And it is, I've never laughed so hard in my life. And I've seen it twice and laughed even harder the second time. in anticipation for jokes and jokes I forgot about.
And if people are like, oh, I don't know if I want to see this yet, you need to know that it's straight through, no intermission, and you're in and out, and it is breezy, but also you want it to keep going. You know what I mean? It's perfect. It's perfect, perfect, perfect. Are we overhyping or what? I don't think so.
No, Dylan, would
you
please
bring in one
of
the stars? This is the second Rose we've had on from.
It is.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, this is, you know, from Titanic, a show that's running through September 10th now. So I think this might be its last extension. So you've got to catch it throughout this spring and summer. But let's chat with our guest today, who is, you know, you could say is pretty popular, currently starring in the off-Broadway smash musical extravaganza, Titanic, as Rose DeWitt Bucater. She is slaying some Celine ballads and bops 8 times a week, including incredible 5 p.m. Saturday shows. Audiences across the nation will know the superstar for her critically acclaimed turn as Sherry in Rock of Ages and show-stealing interpretation of Glinda in Wicked. She brought both roles to Broadway as well, where she cemented herself as a bona fide leading lady of our generation. Our guest also played Lauren in Kinky Boots opposite Tyler Glenn, David Cook, Connor Maynard, and more stars. You know her as Annette in Cruel Intentions, the musical and the album, as well as television appearances on Elementary, The Good Fight, Blind Spot, and more. She has lent her talent to countless concerts, readings, benefits, and of course, her sold-out solo show, Something Good, at 54 Below. This queen is a beloved member of the theater community, and we are so gagged to have her on the podcast. Please welcome to drama, Carrie St. Louis.
Hi guys. Wow. I'm so flattered. That was such a nice intro. I'm sitting here like blushing. So
you deserve it. And you look gorgeous. We've established it already. You look absolutely stunning and you claim to only be wearing chapstick. You know, it is what it is.
And mascara. We got
mascara. I forgot about it. Forgot the mascara.
But after it's my day off after a 5-show weekend. So, you know, she's a tired girl. She's a tired girl.
I know.
Girl,
when I said like amazing 5 p.m. Saturday shows, you're probably like amazing for you guys, but probably not for
No, it's fun. I mean, I actually prefer the 5 and 9. We have a 5 o'clock on Saturday and then 9 o'clock on Saturday. And it allows us to like have a Saturday morning more so than just a matinee. And also the 9 p.m. is always so lit. The audience is wild and it's so fun. So I will never complain about that. That feels like a treat.
Well, look refreshed as hell. I'm literally like, she's ageless. She's stunning. She's a strawberry blonde.
She's a strawberry blonde. She's living that new life.
I have to admit, I was shook when your name appeared on our Zoom as your government name, which I don't know if you want to publicly say what it is.
Yeah, I'm a Caroline.
Yeah, you're Caroline.
You are Caroline. Caroline, yeah. Or change to Carrie.
Change to Carrie. I've been Carrie my whole life, but Caroline, yeah. I don't know how to change it on Zoom. I'm an old lady. I don't know what I'm doing.
At all. I mean, was it like just like a nickname that your parents gave you or?
Yeah, I think it just stuck since I was a kid. I went to prep school for high school and I think I thought I showed up and told everyone my name was Caroline because I was like, that sounds preppier. And then people called me it and I didn't respond. And it was like, I think 3 days. And I was like, ah, just kidding. It's Carrie. I don't know why I told you that. So
wait, that's so funny. Absolutely. Yeah. Wait, are you from the West Coast?
I'm from the West Coast. I'm from Palm Springs, Palm Desert, California.
Oh my goodness. A destination.
I know everyone's always like, oh, my grandparents live there. I've never met anyone who grew up there. I grew up in Palm Desert. So, yeah. But I went to prep school on the East Coast. Phillips Academy Andover. It's right outside of Boston, Massachusetts. Okay. So, yeah, I loved it.
Well, I'm curious, like, what inspired you to go to prep school? Was it, like, something you wanted or your parents were like, oh, no, we want to...
Well, it's my brother went, my dad went, and it was not forced upon me, but it's such an incredible school. It really is amazing. And I remember the first time I went to visit my brother and was just gagged by the whole thing. Was like, oh my God, I have to go here. They had like hockey rinks and, you know, all this stuff. So I was really excited to go. I went when I was 15. So yeah, kind of crazy. And
was it like Harry Potter?
Kind of, yes. We lived in, you know, we were in dorms and we had clusters. So we would play like cluster sports against each other. And we had like mandatory study hours and stuff like that. So it did really kind of feel like Harry Potter.
Was it all girls?
No, it was co-ed.
Oh, thank God.
Co-ed, no uniforms. Like it's a pretty liberal place. And I would take it's not like a music. I mean, they have an incredible music program, but it wasn't a music specific school. So I would take the train into Boston every weekend and study opera at Boston University when I was in high school. So yeah, I was an opera major in college. We'll get into it.
Yeah. Oh my God, I had no idea. That makes sense though. When, you know, a little Glinda action later on.
Yeah. A lot of scrolling though in between. So I'm like,
that's so funny. I love that. Well, you know, we've established that it's your day off. You seem like you're doing well. We do like to ask our guests how they're doing though. Carrie, are you well?
I'm well. I absolutely love the show. I cannot believe I get to clown around and sing Celine Dion with my best friend. I mean, Constantine, who plays Jack, is my best friend. So the two of us are just, we're as stupid on stage as we are off stage. We literally went off stage and there's a separate show going on back there that everyone else is like, why are you both so unwell, but in the best way. And yeah, other than that, I'm also running my own, I have my own coaching vocal studio and I still do that during the day. So it's a lot. I've been doing a lot, but I couldn't be happier. I get like, oh my God, quoting Wicked already. Carrie, get out. But I truly couldn't be happier. I'm doing all the things that I love to do. And
And you're back in New York.
And I'm back in New York. Oh, and it feels great this time. I think, I don't know, having some time away during the pandemic and all of that sort of reminded me how much I love it here. And coming back has kind of felt like a new, I don't know. I explained it to a friend recently and I said, I feel like I'm wearing glasses for the first time in New York. Like I now feel like I live here and I know my way around. Whereas the first few years were kind of just chaos, you know, like you're just figuring it all out and doing 8 shows a week. And it's just kind of a grind. And I'm finally in a place where I feel really settled and really just like happy to be here.
Yes.
You know?
Oh, that's beautiful. Wait, that reminds me of, did you ever watch Grey's Anatomy? There, in the season when Callie realized she was gay, she hooked up with the heart, I think she was a heart doctor, Dr. Erica Hahn. And after they hook up, Erica Hahn is like sitting in bed and she gives this monologue about how like her whole life she just saw blobs of like leaves on trees or whatever. But then finally she got glasses and she could see clearly. But then after like hooking up with Callie, she was like, I'm gay and I'm wearing glasses.
And then they like fired her and didn't bring her back for another season. It was like, wow, they rinsed her of everything she could give in that one monologue.
And she famously, that actress famously gave an interview in which she said she felt like she did the best work of her career in that scene. And then they fired her and didn't bring her back the next season, but they did hire Jessica Capshaw to play Arizona, aka Steven Spielberg's daughter. Mm. Anyway, I love that. Yeah. You-
yes.
Way we go.
But I love to hear that. How long were you in New York before you left to move back to the West Coast?
Probably about like, I want to say like 7 years, but I went on tour with Wicked for a year in between there. So yeah, I mean, quite a bit of time, but I just think I started my vocal studio at the end of Kinky Boots, like nearing the end, and did that through the whole pandemic. And it really kind of turned into this, you know, I have like over 100 students. It's kind of wild. It turned into this huge thing and I am so passionate about it. And I think having my own business that I love and will, like, you know, it just relieves me of so much of the stress of like, what's next? And just, you know, that whole rat race that we all are involved in. It's part of our industry. I think it's just nice to be able to breathe and be like, I'm only going to do projects that I really want to do, because otherwise I have this full business that I love just as much. So it really change things for me.
And I love that it wasn't just like a pandemic project. It was something that you started beforehand.
Yes. Yeah.
Continued. And then now here it is.
Yeah. But it really got to take off in the pandemic because I had so much time. And, you know, we would have my group of like students, we would kind of have masterclass and workshops. And we became like a little crew during the pandemic that kind of got each other through it. So it was a really beautiful thing in retrospect.
I love that.
That's so amazing. Yeah. Is it like teenagers or like college audition type
stuff? I have all different, I mean, from all over the world. I have a student in Thailand. I have a student in you know, Brazil. It's truly everywhere. It's wild. Israel, all these things. But also like it's all different ages. I also have some students that, you know, the thing about singing and musical theater, I think it's a lot like sports, where if you play one or you do musical theater when you're a kid and growing up, and then you get to college, and if you don't, like, or out of college, I guess, if you don't go into it as a profession, where do you go to, like, do theater? It's so hard. I know that there's like an adult theater camp that I think Gina DeWall runs here, that I think is such a smart concept, because it's not just like singing in general. It's like people, we just love theater people. Like, we are theater people. We love theater people. It's that feeling of having a cast. It's that feeling of having like your friends from theater. And I think as we get older, it just, you kind of get further and further away from that, besides what, karaoke, like you can go sing karaoke. so I have quite a few students who are, you know, lawyers or doctors or, you know, whatever. And they're just like, I just miss singing and I miss focusing on it and, you know, learning new things and keeping my voice in shape. And I find those to be some of my favorite students, because there's no stake in the game. Like, they progress so fast because they're not so in their head about it needing to be perfect. They're just doing it for fun.
Oh, that's beautiful. What is this? What are you accepting new students? Is this, can we plug it, or is it, you said you have over 100, my God.
Yeah. I mean, totally. I'm always open to hearing new students and working with new students. I love it. And it just, there's a little bit of a wait time, but like, sure. I love hearing new voices. It's I'm such a nerd about it. I'm like, geek out, but
I can tell, I can feel the energy. That's
I can
beautiful.
Talk about it all day. I'm like, my poor boyfriend is like, okay, oh. I get it. You love the voice.
Your boyfriend who is hot.
Yeah, we need to discuss.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, we're going to get love. Into it. What is his name? How did you meet? Are you comfortable talking about this on the pod?
Sure. Yeah, his name is Robert. We met on Hinge, the app meant to be deleted. We love.
right.
Yeah. He works in consulting. He is in a very different field, but did choir and theater in high school, so knows the world and has a beautiful voice, actually, and plays guitar.
He's literally perfect.
He's the best. So I've brought him into this wacky world. He just moved to New York. It hasn't even been a year since he moved to New York. He's from California as well, which is wild. We met here. And I'm just sort of like brought him into this kooky, crazy world.
Yes.
He's like, well, it's never boring. And I'm like, it is never boring. That I can guarantee. Yep. It's a wild ride.
Does he love Titanic?
He does. Yeah. He saw it. Well, actually, I took him to see Titanic on one of our early dates, because in my brain, I was like, if he doesn't think this is funny, it will not work. Like, this will not work. It was the first show I ever took him to, and he loved it. And then, of course, now I'm in it, so he's seen it a couple times since. So,
oh my God, that's so cute.
And he's bringing his work, like his work team, to the show next week, actually. So I'm very nervous already, but it'll be fine.
No, that'll be amazing. That'll
They're
be
gonna
amazing.
Love you.
They're gonna be like, this is your girlfriend. This is what she does.
You're so funny in the show. It is like, oh my God. We of course had Alex Ellis on, and you both have that essence of the character, but it's, you're both so brilliantly unique in it. So it's, congrats. It's seriously so brilliant what you're doing.
Thank you. It's so fun. I mean, it's really great. And it's a great work environment. They are so open to like keeping things fresh. It's not, you know, a machine. It's not like you have to do this thing. They always talk about it as like an amoeba. Like, it's constantly evolving and changing, and there's new references thrown in every night, and there's the improv section. So it's different every single night. Marla has never repeated in like over 8 months. So it's really nice to be in a work environment like that, where you can really play. Like, it's, even in comedic roles that I've played in the past, there's still very much a structure, and you can't really go outside of the structure. But with this, they're very much about that. So
right, Megan Helty was famously like reined back in when her popular got too out of control, like in the early Wicked days. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I think we've all been reined back in a little bit. I have this running joke where when I was in Kinky Boots, our associate director, DB Bonds, who I love dearly, I remember one day was like, you can't go too far. Like, if you go too far, I'll reel you back in. Like, don't worry. And then like a week later, he comes to my dressing room and he's like, so we went too far. We went too far. And I was like, yeah, choices are free and I will make them. Don't you yes. worry. So we're going to have to maybe like keep it, you know. So
I think Connor and I saw DB Bonds as Emmett in the national tour of Legally Blonde.
So jealous. I'm so jealous. Yeah.
He was like a sexy Emmett.
He and Connie were on tour together.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Oh my God. Wait. Yes. But Connie wasn't
Warner.
Yeah, he wasn't the male guy. He was
yeah.
It was some other hunk,
which is so funny because I'm like him as Warner. I can't even imagine, but yeah. When I went in for Kinky Boots, I was at the time doing Cruel Intentions with Constantine, and DB was like, "Oh my God, Connie!" You know, and that's again Connie, the connector of all people, always. Mm-hmm. Like, I swear, he knows half of the audience every single night. I'm like, what? How do you know everybody in New York City? It's crazy to me.
I know. I think we said this before we started recording, but he's just like the nicest guy, easiest person to talk to. Like, yeah. Oh my God.
Golden Retriever puppy. He's mm-hmm. just the dumbest, but yeah, love him.
And you've gotten to kiss him a few times in a few different shows too. So. Yes. You're the envy of many an eye.
Yes, yes. Very true.
Because we did see you in Cruel Intentions. Mm-hmm. This is before we met, of course. But yes. Wow, that was so good. I literally love that movie so much. And you guys took what was fun about the movie, and especially in that space. It was at Le Poisson Rouge, right?
Yeah. I actually think it was kind of like the first test of this style, because it is the same sort of style as Titanic. And this has been a big thing in LA mostly, like is taking these famous movies and making them these kind of jukebox musical concert type things. And so Cruel Intentions was in LA first, and then they brought it to New York, and that was kind of the test. And people just loved it. Like, I still to this day have people be like, that was the greatest thing you were in. And I'm like, Cruel Intentions, the musical? Like, you know, but it was so fun. And it was so, again, it was that feeling of like, this is not stuffy theater. This is just come and have fun and relive these like nostalgic moments. Mm-hmm. And now Titanic is like taking it up a notch with that. But it's the same producer too. Eva Price did both. Yeah. So yeah.
She did the Oklahoma That Fucks. That was like her big thing. Yeah.
It's so interesting to hear you talk about how much you're loving doing theater that's letting you play and really be an enjoyable experience, where I imagine studying opera was such a different road to be on.
Yes. I definitely was like, oh, well, I think I kind of got guided into opera because out of singing, dancing, and acting, when I was younger, singing was just always, I mean, again, voice nerd, like I've just always loved singing. And I think when I was in high school, again, they didn't have a huge theater department. It wasn't, you know, a music school. So by going into Boston University, I was getting a classical background, and every teacher, everybody was just like, oh, you should go into this. You should go into this. Like, this is what you should do. And I remember my first college audition, I was going to do both musical theater and opera, and I went to Carnegie Mellon. I'll never forget it. And it, you know, when you're in high school, you don't really know where you stand. Like you're kind of like, people tell me I'm good, but I don't actually know I don't know where I stand. So I went to Carnegie Mellon and I went to my opera audition first. And in the room, I sang my first aria, and everyone behind the table was like, okay, so where else are you applying? Because we want you. And what do we need to do to make sure that we get you to come to Carnegie Mellon? And I was like, so shocked, guys. I was like, and so I come out of the room. My mom's like, you know, my mom came with me the first one, and she's like, how'd it go? And I'm like, we'll talk about it in the car. We'll talk about it in the car. Like, get it. Cause you know, there's other people waiting. I'm not about to be like, oh my God, I got in, everyone, you know, rude. So I tell her that, and she's like, wait, what? And so I didn't even go to my musical theater audition because I was like, well, I'm in already. And I was feeling stressed about doing two in one day. And, you know, I was pacing myself. So I kind of just ended up in that. And then about 2 years into college, I went to USC. So I was in the Thornton School of Music, which is an incredible program. And 2 years in, I just was like finding that I would go sing opera all day, and then I would just belt out all of my favorite show tunes in the car. And I kind of was like, I think this is the answer for me. And Jason Robert Brown taught a course at USC. He was writing Bridges of Madison County, and he was in LA. And 10 people got accepted into his class. You had to audition because everyone was like geeking out, you know. Mm-hmm. And I got into his class, and I had 3 hours every Friday with Jason Robert Brown, 10 of us total, which is insane for an entire semester. Like, it was like magic in a bottle, right? And he was just pretty, like, right away was like, you should be doing this. You have the, like, a really good sense of who you are and what you're going to do. And then this is such a long-winded story, but
no, it's amazing.
I basically did a competition called LA's Next Great Stage Star.
Ooh. Okay, we forgot that in the bio. We forgot to put that in the bio.
Yeah, you forgot the bio. It was my big moment. She did not win, but she was first runner-up. I got an agent through that, and then 3 months out of college, I booked Rock of Ages. Like, it was insane. Like, and I just moved to Las Vegas and was belting Sherry 8 times a week.
It was
a while. I was like, I don't even know if I can do this. Like, what? Trial by fire. And then they took me from that production. I opened that production in Las Vegas, which was so fun. And then I made my Broadway debut. They took me to Broadway and I made my Broadway debut with Sherry.
So many questions about this.
Me too.
Journey, but I almost want to go in backwards order, but I need to just, because I'm going to forget if I don't. So yeah. Jason Robert Brown on these Fridays, is he workshopping? Is he using it also as like an incubator for Bridges? Like, was he showing any early music? Okay.
No, 100% was like, you should sing this. Like, at one point he had me singing Kate Bush, Wuthering Heights, like wild. Like, was like, you need to sing this. I mean, it was just, there was one girl who's like sang Tomorrow from Annie for like 4 weeks. Cause I think he was just like fascinated by her and was like, what is happening here? Like, it was wild.
Do you have any relationship with him now?
I mean, like through the industry a little bit, but not super, super close. We've seen each other from time to time, and he's always like, he actually calls me Caroline, which is wild.
Wow.
Yeah, he always called me Caroline. So I think because like on the roster, like this is, you know. So
I need you to do Kathy from Last 5 Years.
Okay. I agree. So what I was going to say is like, the song that like I auditioned for LA's Next Great Stage Star with and like had as my final thing was See I'm Smiling. And I coached it with him at like, he privately mentored me on it. And it was hilarious because he'd be like, what do you think she's feeling here? And I would say what I thought at like, you know, 18 years old. And he's like, okay, cool. Well, that's about my ex-wife. So this is what she was actually thinking. And I was like, cool, amazing, great. Awesome. But I agree. I really want to play Kathy. I actually sent my agent a text the other day and was like, I want to do it. I don't care where it is, what it is. Like, I want to do it somewhere regionally, something. I just want to do it. So.
Oh my God. Who's your Jamie?
I don't know. We're trying to figure it out.
Yeah. Okay. Oh my God. That's so fun.
He threw out Sam Gravitt, who I think would be incredible.
Oh yeah.
So yeah.
Okay. We'll get our wheels turning on that one.
So then Rock of Ages, now you're 21, 22.
Yeah.
Playing this leading lady role. I mean, so how long were you in it in Vegas until they took you to New York?
I wasn't in Vegas for a year and a half, actually. But the cool thing about Vegas was we got to work with instead of like replacing with normal shows, you get like 3 weeks with like the dance captain and it's just kind of fast. The entire creative team came out to mount it in Vegas, and we were in the Venetian Hotel. Ooh. So it was on Broadway. It was in the Helen Hayes, which is like a 500 seat theater. In Vegas, it was in a 2000 seat theater. It was huge. They built a bourbon room next door, like an actual bar, so that everyone could go after the show.
Amazing.
And we were like celebrity. I mean, we were Vegas celebrities, which is a whole nother thing, but it was like, my face was on billboards, poker tables. We had like, they would give us like tables at all the clubs. Like, we did no matinees. It was a 90 minute show.
Right.
It was just like, and that cast was again, lightning in a bottle. Like, we were so close. It was just like the best. It was the best thing ever. And I look back now being like, I had no idea. I mean, at the time I was just like, I can't believe this is happening to me. Right. Like, I think all my friends too, because I went to college in LA. So all my friends would like come to Vegas for the weekend and see me in this huge show. It's just like a wild, incredible experience. But yeah, it was so, so special. And I look back, actually, did you see Mark Evans when you came to Titanic?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Connie introduced us to him. Yeah.
So Mark's husband, Justin Mortaliti, was my original Drew, like is my brother basically. Like we grew up together in a way. And he kind of like took care of me because he's older. And now I was at their wedding, all these things. And now Mark is playing my fiance. It's just so, the world is so small. So.
Oh my God, that's amazing. Was Frankie Grande in that one?
Frankie Grande came to Broadway.
Okay.
After I left. So I left to go do Wicked. I was rehearsing Wicked from 9 to 5 and then doing Rock of Ages at night on Broadway.
Oh my God.
Leading up to my final week. And then I had my final show on Sunday. And on Monday, I flew out and joined the tour.
Oh my
it was
goodness.
Insane.
Thank goodness you have such an appreciation for the voice, and you're trained and you've done it all, because I cannot imagine
the stamina. Well, that's why I'm like talking to all my students, is like, I'm like, technique is, this musical theater is a stamina game. It is not a tone, like, yes, tone is of course important, but like, you're not just going into the recording studio and laying this down. Like, you have to do this 8 times a week healthily, and you have to have options, because you've got to be maneuvering. We're technicians. We're not, you know, and with opera, it's acoustic value, right? It's like no microphones, but you don't do an opera 8 times a week. You get a couple days off in between. So it's just a different skill set. So yeah, I'm very much a vocal health stamina girly. I'm like, that is essential. You gotta have it, or else, you know, it's impossible. It's such a crazy career choice.
What do you remember about your Broadway debut in Rock of Ages?
Nothing. I blacked out. I black out every time I do a first performance. Truly, I will come off stage and ask my parents. I'm like, did I do it? Like, I cannot remember. I remember I almost ran into a pole. Like, there was one part where we spin around the pole, and I, like, my head was like, again, we were here. Because here's the way Rock of Ages Broadway happened. I closed in Vegas after a year and a half run, was moving to New York for the first time, so I had to move all my stuff. It was like a whole thing. I finished Sunday night. Monday, I flew to LA and I sang the national anthem for a Lakers versus Clippers game at Staples Center. Wild. Literally, what?
Yeah.
Did that the next day, and then flew to New York. And the next day, I like had a day in between, and then I started rehearsals. I had 4 days of rehearsal, and then I made my Broadway debut. And it was a different show. Like,
right.
It was not the 90-minute version, and it was a completely different cast. And I had no break, and that was how it happened. It was so fast. God.
Did Sherry have any additional songs in, like, was there anything cut from Sherry's track?
No, Vegas? The only thing that was cut was the final countdown didn't exist in our in our Vegas version. And I think it was like in Waiting for a Girl Like You, there was like an entire verse thing that was cut. Okay. So maybe it was that felt different. But
wow. Oh yeah, because it's really not that long of a show. I mean, with intermission.
Yeah, it's quick. And it's, you know, different theater and different dressers and different, I mean, it's just everything. I was also living in New York for the first time. It was just completely, again, trial by fire. I think a lot of my career has just been like, you just get your, and I kind of love that. Understudies say that they actually are glad when they get thrown on last minute, because they don't have time to panic or overthink it, or you just go into pure adrenaline, and like your body knows what to do and you know what to do. But yeah, blacked out.
Who
blacked
like
out
you?
Doing it.
Who was there in New York to kind of guide you through like these early days? Because that's so much on someone.
I mean, I didn't really know anyone.
Yeah.
I didn't really know anyone. My cast was incredible and was so sweet. And like, I always look back at Rock of Ages was the perfect Broadway debut show, because it was a cast of misfit toys. Like, everybody in that show was like, I can't believe we're doing this on Broadway, you know, kind of similar to Titanic. Like, it's sort of like, I can't believe we're getting away with this. And like, people love it so much. It's just, it cracks me up. It's like, we're on the cover of, you know, the art section of the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times. And I'm like, we're singing about like the stupidest, it's the most brilliant stupidity of all time, but
oh,
it's
yeah.
so stupid. Like, you can't help but laugh. So right. It's kind of that, you know, and that was the Rock of Ages charm. But I think everyone in it too, especially when I joined, everyone had been in it, a lot of people had been in it for a while. So I think it was a fresh new energy and everyone was very, very accommodating and helpful.
It opened at the, what's now called the Lena Horne, the Brooks Atkinson, and then it moved, mm-hmm. right? Okay.
Yeah, I was in the Helen Hayes. Yeah.
Yeah, so tiny. Oh my God.
It was, yeah, it's tiny. But I loved it. I don't know. I loved the Helen Hayes.
I don't know if there are many musicals to play there. I know Dames at Sea was there for a minute. Yeah. And, but that's
it was
so
wild
small.
To go from, my Broadway debut was at the Helen Hayes, the smallest theater on Broadway. And then my second show was Wicked in the Gershwin, which is the biggest theater on Broadway. So I was like, cool. Okay. Yeah. We've really done it. We spanned it. So
what can be said about Wicked that you haven't already probably talked about before, but was that a beautiful experience? Who was your Elphaba?
Oh, so I had in my time, I had 12 Elphabas, but that includes standbys and understudies and everybody, right? Which keeps it so exciting and fresh because it's a different show whenever you're on with a different Elphaba.
Yeah.
My main Elphabas were Alyssa Fox, who just took over as lead Elphaba. She was, when she took over as lead Elphaba on tour, I was her Glinda. Okay. I had Laurel Harris was my first Elphaba when I joined the tour. Then Alyssa. And then Alyssa and I came to New York and she was the Elphaba standby. And my Elphaba was Rachel Tucker on Broadway. And then I had Jenny DeNoia on Broadway as the main Elphabas, but then also, you know, everybody else as well. And yeah, it was a beautiful experience. It's crazy. Sometimes I think about it and I'm like, did that really just happen? Like, truly, it feels so weird. But it was, yeah, I learned so much. I really learned so much, a lot about stamina. It is, you guys know, it's a hard show. And it's really, it becomes your entire life, you know? And I think the thing that I really found, I had a great time in Wicked. I learned so much. I loved the show. It was such a dream. I think what I really learned a lot about too is leading a company of that size, like truly being there is that element of like, it trickles down. So if you start calling out and missing shows and stuff, like everyone else feels like they can call out and miss shows. And so it's a team effort, right? It's a team effort every night. But also I learned a lot about comedy, to be honest, because with Glinda, it's just a fine line. You don't like Glinda at the start of the show, right? She's not the underdog. She's the one that's a little bit like, you're like, no, she's almost the antagonist at the beginning, right? So you have to win them over. It's not starting out the gate, they are with you. You have to win them over. And if you lose them, you lose them, period, point blank. But Glinda has just as interesting of a story arc as Elphaba. If not more so in my, I'm a Glinda girly. So I have a lot of thoughts on this. But
no, I'm with you, Carrie. I just went back to see Wicked 2 weeks ago for the first time in a while.
Yeah.
And it's Glinda's journey that I'm into. I'm into it. We're with her from
Glinda's
the start to the end.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Yes. And I'm like, all of her choices are justified for her and for her journey. And like finding that balance of not losing them because it's like, she just doesn't know better at the beginning. And I found that so interesting on tour because in every city we'd be in, every city has a different sensibility, different people. Like it's, you know, like California is way more liberal than like the Midwest, right? Or like the South. So certain jokes would really land in some cities and be like crickets in others. And so every time we'd get to a city, my Glinda would change. Like I would have to recalibrate to whatever the sensibility of that city was. And it just taught me so much about timing, about like really how it's with the audience. You know, the audience changes it every night. And that's how people are always like, how do you do a show 8 times a week and not get the same show and not get bored? And I'm like, the audience is always different. And that's what makes live theater so special is that show will never be recreated because it will never be the exact same audience. It will never be the exact same place in everybody's life that they're coming to the show to see this. So I think that was kind of like my biggest takeaway from Glinda in general, besides learning stamina of like
right.
doing that show and traveling and like you know, we would, when we get to new cities, we would do 9 shows in 5 days. Mm-hmm. And that would include an opening night. We would get reviewed every time. We would have to do a 7 a.m. press singing on some news station. Like, right. It was crazy. I would like get to Mondays and be like, I called them my 600-pound life Mondays. I would sit in bed and order an entire Domino's pizza and I would not leave my bed. Like, I was like, I can't. My body is done, you know?
Yeah. Wicked loves to sort of keep it in the family and keep cast members around. Would you ever go back and do it again? Or do you feel like that's a part of your life?
I don't know. I think I did it. I think that's where I'm at with it. But I mean, if they called, I wouldn't be like, no. But I think I would have to be like, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, it has to be your entire life. And I'm so glad I did it when I did, because I was so young and I was so like, it was just everything. And it's the gift that keeps on giving. I mean, for the rest of my life, I always tell people, like, anywhere I go, especially meeting like my boyfriend's friends or people that are not in musical theater land, like, they're like, oh, you do musical theater? Like, what have you done? And I'm like, oh, have you heard of Wicked? And like, everyone knows what that is. And immediately it's like, oh, she's good at what she does. Uh-huh. But if I was like, oh, I was Tony nominated for the band's visit, people would be like, cool. Like, it's just, and that's so much more impressive to us.
No, well, you know.
It is, but you know, but like, it's the gift that keeps on giving in that like, it almost is like a blanket, like, immediately people are like, oh, she's good at what she does, which is not necessarily true, but I just think it's really wonderful. And like, I've also just met so many people. I mean, I know all the girls that have gone through it, and it's just it's like an experience that you only know if you've been through it, you know, and it's bonding. It's very bonding.
Yeah. So, God, and it's been out for almost 20 years now. It's crazy. Wicked came into our lives kind of at the age when we were like impressionable and getting into theater. Ring of Keys vibes, actually, which I'm now realizing I don't think we asked you, but
we're just chatting away.
I know, sorry.
No, I love it.
Oh my God, no, you're so giving. You're literally like answering a question before I can ask it. And I'm like, okay, she's a dream guest.
She's the third co-host.
The third.
I love.
Now, do you feel like you had a Ring of Keys moment, which on this podcast, we borrow the term from Fun Home to describe that moment of maybe you were watching a performance or singing in the choir or experiencing the arts in some way that made you realize you identified with it in a stronger way than just enjoying it? Like, you wanted to participate and maybe even make a life out of it?
Yeah. I think for me, it was Linda Eder. I am such a Linda Eder girl, you guys. Wow. Linda Eder, just obsessed. But she came and did a concert in Palm Desert, and it was the first like concert I'd ever seen at my like hometown theater called the McCallum Theater. And I was like in the very back row, and I remember just being like, I'd heard her on the Jekyll and Hyde soundtrack, but just hearing her sing, and then like I had a total experience with it. And then I like learned her entire catalog. I played one of her songs at my like high school talent show, like on the piano, LOL. I was just so excited. And it's funny because the full circleness of it all, I did my solo show at 54 Below. And when I looked and saw, like, I figured out a night and all that stuff. And they usually do 2 a night. They do a 7 o'clock and like a 9 o'clock or something. And mine was the 9 o'clock slot. And the night I did it, Linda Eder was the 7 o'clock slot. And so I was like, Linda Eder's opening for me, LOL. But I was truly so like, could not believe that I was having my show on the same night that Linda, you know, in the same space. And so I came early and watched her whole show, and then was backstage with, or upstairs with Ben Rahula, my music director. And he was like, go say hi. And I was like, I can't. I can't say hi. And he was like, go say hi to her. And so he went out and sort of was like, oh, and this is Carrie. And she like saw my name on the door and was like, oh, I'll look you up on YouTube. And I was like, okay, please do. Like, I was just so inspired by her. And she sounds exactly the same. Yeah. I mean, she literally sounds like her recording. She's incredible as a singer. So that was maybe probably the like kind of start of it all for me. Yeah. I have another full circle moment, but it wasn't like inspiring. I guess I saw Megan Hilty in Wicked at the Pantages when I was like 14, 15, maybe even young. Yeah, I think 14, 15. And of course was like, that's me. I have to do that's me, you know? Mm-hmm. And when I got Wicked and I joined the tour, my custom Leduca, my custom Leduca shoes had not come in yet because they have to, you know, it takes time. And so they gave me, they have like a warehouse full of just all the costumes from all the people, you know? And before my shoes came in, I got my shoes and I opened them up and they just said Megan Hilty popular. And I quite literally walked in her shoes when I started the show. And I just felt like that was another kind of sign. That was another one of those, you know, it's just that's crazy. Wild. It doesn't get lost on you ever. You're just like, I'm still such a musical theater nerd at heart that I'm like, these things are just so cool.
I love it. That is so beautiful. I love both of those full circle moments. What song did you sing when you did it at the talent show? Did you do like Someone Like You or Bring On The Men?
No. She has a song that is like from her original album called Vienna. It is, yeah, you should, it's so good. It's so good. It's so epic. It's like about this, you know, in Vienna, love was alive, watching you, watching me. Oh my God. It's epic. I love it.
I love that. She has so many albums, Linda Eder. It's insane.
Yes. Yes. She's an icon. Truly. I saw her recently too. She just did a show at 54 Below and I like texted my friend Dylan Bustamante who worked at 54 Below. And I was like, I will name my firstborn Dylan if you can get me a ticket. And like he did. And I was just in the corner, like silently sobbing the whole time.
Yeah.
She's incredible.
I worked at 54 Below for years with Dylan. Oh. I was the other Dylan. I was Dylan Mack and he was
Dylan and Dylan.
Yeah. So I got confused for him for many, many years. Okay. So we're sadly wrapping up, but we cannot finish this chat without tipping into a little drama, as we like to call it here on the titled podcast, drama. This is sort of where we like to, you know, get anything off our chest that we might be thinking about, something we want to rant about or rave about. I do have a dose of drama.
Yes.
And it is, I resisted the television show Ted Lasso for so long. And I have no idea why. I don't know
I did
why.
Too. I did too. Because everyone loved it so much.
I
was like,
why.
I'm not going to watch it.
And I was like, I hate like being told to watch something.
Yeah.
It's like, I need to find it on my own and then tell people. I don't know. I'm like, I'm silly like that. Started it over the weekend.
So
I'm already on season two. I absolutely love it. It makes me want to be a better person. He is like I understand why, spoiler alert, his wife couldn't deal with the constant optimism, but like it's so beautiful. And like the way that he changes all these lives and maybe they're changing his at the same time. It is just like so good. And the third season is coming out and I need to catch up in time to watch with the rest of the world because it is.
Because now you'll be in with it. Now you're not going to be behind.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's so refreshing. And you love all the characters. Like you love all of them. You start to be like,
right.
I know Keely.
I'm obsessed with Keely. I don't know what it is. She's just so good.
Keely. Yeah, Keely's it. Now it makes sense why everyone dressed up like her for Halloween that year.
Right. Literally.
I was like, who is this? Like, I'm like you. I was a hater for no reason.
For no reason, but hey. We got on board.
Doing like a Keely and like Roy Kent Halloween couples costume is easy, but like so cute. I mean,
yeah.
Or you could be Jamie.
You guys should do it, Carrie. You should do that this year.
Yeah. We did Scooby-Doo this past year and my dog was Velma, which was so funny because we bought him a dog, a literal dog bob wig. And I don't know if I'll recover. It's truly not to be believed.
That's hysterical.
I love it.
Do you have a dose of drama?
I do. Miley Cyrus just dropped her new album, Endless Summer Vacation, and it is amazing. I quietly am obsessed with Miley Cyrus in the way that I find her voice to be so iconic and inimitable. No one sings it like Miley. She can really do it all. I love that she just did like a kind of a rock album, and now this is more in her like pop bag, but it is so fun. It's so good. Highly recommend the album. And if she goes on tour with this one, I have to go see her live. I've never seen Miley live. I was worried about her vocals during her Plastic Hearts era because she did a live album and she could barely finish any song.
The stamina, Carrie.
She needs you.
I will say she's recently gotten better, and her vocal coach, I slid into her DMs during the pandemic and was like, teach me everything, like I need to know, because she's the inventor of this thing called the Voice Straw. I'm very obsessed with straw phonation.
I've heard about this, nerdy.
But I slid into her DMs, which I've never done before, and I creepily was like, can I chat with you? And we got on a FaceTime, and she like basically like talked me through all of it, and it's like now what I teach as well. I love her to death. I think she's incredible. She's such an amazing like vocal coach, and she works with Miley, and Miley's like using the straw going up on stage and all that stuff. So she's got a good coach now.
I love that you're a student of the straw method. That this is incredible. Yes.
I was worried about Miley, because she did that. She released this live album and she sang The Climb on it and she couldn't do it. And I was like, Miley, no, we need you. You're so young. And she's got this beautiful voice. So I'm glad she's on the up and up. She sounds good on this album.
She's coming back. Yeah. Coming back.
Carrie, do you have a dose of drama to send us home?
I mean, I just feel like this is the drama that everyone keeps talking about, but I am so fully obsessed with Scandoval. I cannot deal. Like, I literally am that girl that's like, who will listen? I have been a Vanderpump Rules. I'm a trash reality TV girly.
You're safe here.
Yeah, like Love Island, like 90 Day Fiance. I mean, it gets dark. It gets dark-sided sometimes, so we don't need to expose all that. But yeah, she's been deep in Vanderpump. I've been saying for years that Vanderpump is like the best reality show on television, because these people, like, you can't even write it. It's a level of drama that is just, I just think they're all terrible people. Like, truly terrible people. And they got given a platform and they got even worse, because it's like, now we're on this platform. And so hearing the Scandoval nonsense is like, I am just so consumed by it. I can't.
Oh yeah.
And the fact that this newest season is out right now, and so it's playing out as we know these things. So when you watch every episode, you're just like watching it knowing what's going to happen. Oh, it's like watching a horror film knowing who the murderer is, and you start looking at them being like, everything they say, you're like, liar! Like,
right.
Literally liar! Well, like,
I came in rooting for Raquel this season. I was very excited that she was going to be owning her womanhood. But maybe she really did just get on the show because of James. Maybe the only reason she stayed with him was to stay on the show. Maybe this was her grand plan. You know, because you're right. They are... I saw this tweet that's like, everyone in Vanderpump is a villain. It just shifts who like is controlling the narrative at any time.
Yes. Every season I'm like, oh yeah, no, Kristen's the worst. Oh no, Katie's the worst. It just, every time, it's crazy. I can't believe it exists.
I know.
So, I can't believe it.
Kristen,
I know.
Do you see Kristen's filming?
Yeah, they're all filming.
That's amazing.
Oh, which is, oh my God. It's a gift for all of us. And yeah, Marla did her improv about it the other night. so yeah, we're in.
Oh my God.
I'm obsessed with that. Did the audience react well to her doing Scandoval?
I was out that day. I went on vacation recently because mama needed a quick vacation. But
yes.
Yeah, I was out, and then I've now been spinning about it. And she's like, oh my God, well, my improv. And I was like, yeah, I wasn't there for it. So. Another one. Yeah.
It is one of the more epic reality TV moments I've experienced in my lifetime, where, like you said, we're watching the new season, everything's happening in the press, Lisa's on Watch What Happens Live, they picked up the cameras again, we've known these characters for a decade, most of them, and it's just...
Yes.
Really surreal.
We've known them for so long, and it's so deep and dark-sided, and ugh. I can't imagine.
I know. I'm so sad for Ariana. Like, I think she might be done. I couldn't see her coming back to the show next year. I don't know.
I think she's going to have a full... I think it was time for her to get out. I think that they probably were not... I think they were... It seems like they were more roommates than anything. And just their lives were so in, like, connected that it was just, what's the point of disbanding all of this?
Right.
So I think she's... And now America, like, is all on her side. Can see her like coming out with a new business, doing a new, I think she's going to take over. I think she's just got to take some time to be like, that's so messed up, but no, I'm here for it. I want a reality dating show with just Ariana. She's so cool. She yeah.
I invented cool.
No, she said, okay? No, she said, babe, I was born fucking cool.
She yeah, is. That's what she was yeah. the whole time. She has never been the problem. Like, she has never been truly. The problem in the 10 years she's been on that show. She has been mm-hmm. the cool one. Like, just being like, yeah. all right, that's crazy, but like, I support you, you know?
Wait, did Sheena punch Raquel?
I don't think so.
You don't think? Okay.
Yeah, she's denying it.
I don't
she's
think so. It didn't happen. I mean, I don't know.
She knows. Raquel feels, I don't know. Raquel's... She's never been violent.
No, and Sheena's never been violent. That feels very strange mm-hmm. to me. That feels like... Mm-hmm. I feel like someone made that up, maybe, just to, like, clickbait.
That was, like, the crate. Like, when that news was just coming out every, like, hour, there was something new.
I know. I was, like, I said that one of my friends who I've been watching it with since college. It was her birthday the other day. And I was, like, happy birthday. Like, I think all this happened for you. Like, to celebrate your birthday, we got all of this crazy Vanderpump tea. So, thank you. Thank you for being born. Thank you for this. Like,
yeah.
What a gift. What a blessing. Literally. We don't deserve it. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you talked about it on here, because Connor and I have yet to find a chance to chat about it on drama. Okay. And it is the drama.
It is the drama.
Carrie, you are so much fun.
Oh
thank
my God,
you so
thank
much
you guys.
For
this was so fun. I could talk all day about everything.
High praise. And everyone should go and see you in Titanic. They should check out your vocal studio.
Yeah. You're the loveliest person. You put out such great energy into the world, and you're just as talented as you are kind. So thank you for your time. Seriously, this has been a joy.
Yay. Oh my God. Well, same to you guys. Yeah, I'm so thank glad you. We did it.
Yay. Yay. Now, where can everybody find you online?
Carrie St. Louis. It's pretty easy. Okay. And I also have at the Carrie St. Louis studio. If you're interested in voice lessons or things, you can fill out a new form on my website, and yeah, we'll go from there.
And use offer code drama for priority list. I'm just kidding.
For priority for those Miley straw techniques.
Yes, there you go. Throw in an extra 10 minutes.
I will
for that.
Teach you the Miley straw technique. So
I love it. Well, Carrie, thank you again. And Connor, where can everyone find us?
At the Drama Podcast for all things pod, but also follow us on our personal accounts, because we respond to all DMs. I'm at Connor McDowell. You're at Dylan McDowell.
That's right. And Connor, I will see you next time.
Drama.